Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. As we follow the church calendar, today we reflect on the ascension of Jesus when he returned back to heaven. And this is one aspect of his life that tends to get overlooked. We spend a lot of time focusing on his birth, his death, his resurrection. But his ascension marks the transition from his physical presence on earth to now his disciples becoming his physical representation here on earth. And until his return, his disciples are left in this in-between space of waiting. They've been put in a holding pattern of what's next. You know, we've described this as something called liminal space, this in-between transitional spaces of our lives. And one of the main experiences in those spaces is waiting. You know, waiting for what's next, waiting for direction, waiting for something to happen, just waiting for the end of that season. And so before we jump in, I want to give you all a time just to reflect on this question. What does waiting feel like for you? You know, what is your default posture or your default response to waiting? So I'll give you a moment to reflect on that at home, and feel free to offer some of your thoughts on the live chat as well. You know, seeing your comments actually captures the full range of my own experience of waiting as well. For me, you know, I tend to have a passive posture to waiting because of my laid-back personality. So if there's nothing I can do about it, you know, I don't mind waiting it out. And then there are times where I feel like I do need to do something or make something happen in order to cope with my frustration of waiting. And then there are times where I just feel helpless in my waiting. Probably one of my worst, most recent travel experiences happened last summer when I was flying back from a conference in Omaha, Nebraska. And leaving Omaha was smooth. You know, we flew out at 3:30 on a beautiful sunny afternoon. And we landed in Dallas for my connecting flight. And for the rest of that evening, thunderstorms hit Dallas and Austin. So I kept getting text updates on my phone saying, you know, my flight has been delayed an hour. And then another hour. And then another hour. And it wasn't until 1 a.m. that we finally got onto that flight. And when we finally landed in Austin, I waited and waited for my luggage that never showed up. And so I ended up getting into a line to wait some more with a bunch of other people, only to be told that I'd have to come back tomorrow to get my luggage whenever it would show up. And I remember I just had this blank look of disbelief on my face towards the agent. I just had no fight left in me at that moment. And so my Lyft ride showed up at 2:45 and I finally got home at 3 a.m, almost 24 hours after the trip had started. I could have flown to Hong Kong in that same amount of time. But the whole time I was just wanting the delays, the disruptions, and most of all, I just wanted the waiting to end so I could get home. And in many ways, you know, we've been conditioned to think that waiting is something we need to avoid. You know, it's an obstacle to productivity or efficiency or accomplishment. And as a society, we've attempted to remove or at least minimize the waiting process for most aspects of our lives. But as many of us have discovered and even experienced, it's usually in the act of waiting that we find that space where we can actually grow and move towards what we hope to become. And yet it's in the in-between spaces that we find it the most difficult to wait. This is how writer Brandon Robertson puts it. He says, in moments of transition, we are simply to be. We are to pause and acknowledge that a transition is taking place. Instead of seeking to abruptly pass through a threshold, we are to tarry or to wait. A new reality is emerging, but we cannot see beyond the threshold. All we know is that we exist in this moment, where everything is in transition. We may experience a new way of being, but we cannot yet sense what it will look like. And so the question I want us to consider this morning, right, is what is the invitation for each of us in our own season and experience of waiting? How might God be inviting us to adjust our posture and our practice of waiting? And the text we'll be looking at this morning is in Acts 1, verses 6 through 14, which is the story of the ascension of Jesus and how the disciples are left in this in-between space. And we'll explore the different versions of waiting that they experienced and what their invitation was in waiting. So we start in verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so the disciples, they've been waiting a long time for what they thought would be a freedom from oppression from the Roman Empire. They were expecting Jesus to bring about a political revolution that would free them. And so the disciples are asking him, you know, is it time? Like, we've been waiting a long time for this. Is it happening now? Like, are we finished having to wait? And his response seems ambiguous, right? He says, you know, "I can't really tell you that right now. But what I do want you to know is that in your waiting, I'm inviting you to also participate. Participate in bringing peace and healing to those who are hurt and oppressed. Share with them all I've taught and modeled for you." You know, all this time, the disciples were waiting for Jesus to be the one to take care of everything, to be the ones and to take care of everything. And in the twist of expectations, Jesus is actually inviting them to be the ones to participate and bring about a revolution that is centered around love instead of judgment, that's centered around grace and forgiveness instead of scapegoating. And that's not what they were originally expecting. And so for us, maybe our experience of waiting is an invitation to participate in ways we weren't expecting. You know, sometimes in our waiting, we've put the expectation solely on the external circumstance or another person instead of reflecting on the possibility of our own participation. And so for all the Greenhouse kids that are joining us this morning, we're glad that you're with us. I'm going to invite Kelly Knight and Lainey to share some of their thoughts around waiting. So welcome, ladies.
Hi, Greenhouse kids. Lainey and I want to talk to you about when Jesus left the disciples. He told them to go out and do the work of telling others about God. But they had been hoping that Jesus would take care of this hard work, and they weren't exactly sure. They knew how to do it all by themselves. I wonder how they felt when Jesus left. They were going to have to do even more waiting. But this waiting was different. This waiting meant they would have to work hard to do what Jesus had asked them. Do you ever have to wait for me to play a game or make you food? Have you ever felt frustrated when it doesn't happen when you want? This week, Lainey shared a time she was waiting for something. But when the time came, it wasn't what she expected. Let's listen to her story.
Okay, the question is, when is a time you had to wait for something, and then when it got there, it wasn't what you expected?
I was at the playhouse outside, and I thought it was already built, but we just had to put the slide on. But it wasn't, so we had to rebuild all morning, and it took a little bit. So, a surprise, I thought it was already built. I was looking around the yard, but we had to build it. And the fun part I made, I got to help build it too. I put the swings on and boarding keys.
Lainey was disappointed that she couldn't play on the swing set right away. Instead, she found a way to participate in putting it together. Did you know that you can participate while you wait? The word participate means to take part. It's different than sitting on the side and just waiting. Adults actually have a lot to learn from kids because you guys are really good at participating while you play, because you're not worrying about all the other things going on around you. We have something we do in our house to practice participating while we wait. It helps us take part in the waiting process. You can try it at your house. So first, when you're waiting for something or someone, think of something your grown-up usually asks you to do. Like, it may be putting up a puzzle or picking up your Lego pieces. But then choose something to look for while you do that task. Maybe you can count all the colors you see or how many shapes you can find. Pay attention to doing that one thing and try not to move too fast. When you're done, tell a grown-up or sibling what you noticed. You might find it helps the time go by faster. Maybe you can even have a little fun while you're waiting. So this week, try finding a way to participate while you wait at home. Thanks for being with us today. Stay safe. Bye, Greenhouse Kids.
Thank you, Kelly and Lainey, for getting to hear about your own experiences around waiting and participating, and also getting to see you enjoy that amazing swing set now. And then we continue in verse 9. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And so this is the moment that Jesus' physical presence on earth comes to an end for now. And imagine what the disciples are thinking and feeling, you know, as they watch Jesus leave them. There's probably sadness. They're probably feeling loss, maybe some anxiety and confusion about what this new reality is going to be. And then two strangers, aka angels, show up and ask them, "Why are you staring in the sky? Like, why are you still looking for Jesus?" And I think that question hits on a couple of simultaneous tensions. Because in looking into the sky, it represented a moment of loss for the disciples. And at the same time, it represents the beginning of hope and what's to come. And it's in that in-between space, the disciples are being invited to let go of something in order to hold that tension of loss and hope. And for us, maybe our experience of waiting in loss is an invitation for us to also let go. And so I'm going to invite Christy Robinson to share some of her reflections around and waiting in loss and what her invitation has been in her experience. Welcome, Christy.
So reflecting on this part of Jesus' ascension story and how it connects with my own has felt really significant for me this week. This theme of waiting in the midst of loss, just as the disciples did in the passage, reminds me of my own current season of waiting as it relates to my vocation. So about 3 years ago, Eric and I left behind our vocation in ministry without any clear direction of what was to come. From the time I had entered college until when we moved back to Austin, I had always been involved in collegiate ministry, within a variety of Christian nonprofits and parachurches. Over time, though, as my faith shifted and expanded, I found that I no longer had a home in these denominations, institutions, and organizations that had raised me in the faith through half of my life. Looking back at this particular passage, when I imagine the disciples looking up to the sky, gazing at where they had seen Jesus ascend, maybe they also felt like me, bewildered, sad, anxious, and unsure about where else to look in the midst of their fresh loss. If they kept gazing at the sky, maybe Jesus would reappear and their world, as they understood it, didn't have to end after all. I was listening to a podcast recently with a woman named Rosie Joan Halifax, discussing the nature of grief in uncertain times. She talked of how grief is just like a rite of passage that carries with it stages and transitions. As I listened to her speak, I wondered if this scene in the Gospels could be seen through a lens of transition and loss. Jesus had died, resurrected, and the disciples just saw his physical presence disappear again. Their whole worldview had been disrupted. As they stared up at the sky, I'm wondering if they instinctually just kept looking because the loss they felt was so shattering that it didn't occur to them to move on right away. It took angels appearing to tell them it was time to let go and look ahead. I think my last few years here in Austin have been about me gazing up at the sky, wondering what to make of a shattered worldview and a faith that didn't belong anymore in the containers that once held it. Much like the disciples, I needed help to fully let go, embracing my loss and turning my gaze towards an empty present with a future not yet certain. So as 2020 started, Eric and I finally and fully stepped away from old relationships and organizational spaces that we already knew were not our home anymore. Those communities felt the same way about us, and it was time for us to live more authentically in that. So while no angels appeared to us in the sky, I knew it was time to completely let go and continue to move through this transition and inherit in any transition, good or bad, is loss. So as I turn and look ahead, I resonate with what the disciples may have felt in some ways after the angels told them to let go and move forward. I'm staring at a form of emptiness, an uncertain present and future. Jesus's friends that day knew that their Messiah wasn't going to walk with them in a physical way anymore. But what would things look like now? The space between Jesus's ascension and Pentecost was still going to be a bit. I wonder if for Jesus's closest companions, did they even truly know what they were waiting for? All they had was an empty, uncertain space too. So Rosie Joan Halifax said that while the first stage in a rite of passage is lost, the second is about a period in between that loss and the newness to come, a threshold, the liminal space in between that we find ourselves in during periods of loss. In leaving behind my old vocational world, the biggest fear I had in shifting my gaze was feeling that dread and staring towards a void. I'm not a fan of staring into uncertainty. And it didn't help that as soon as we officially transitioned out of those previous communities, we entered into a global pandemic and the nation shut down. But perhaps this is actually the only way for me to move through loss, for me to actually look uncertainty in the face and maybe even call it a friend. Maybe that's what hope looks like for me too. So I'm a 4 on the Enneagram. And from what I understand about this type, we tend to be super comfortable in deep emotional melancholy. And I'm mostly fine with that. I think sometimes though, that can lead me to get stuck in that first place of loss, gazing up at the place where Jesus has left his disciples. But maybe hope for me looks like facing the fog of the empty present, believing there's more on the other side of this. It doesn't make grief dissipate, but maybe it allows me to move through it in a way I couldn't otherwise. Because setting up camp underneath the sky won't help me get to Pentecost. And we all need Pentecost. I know that I need Pentecost.
Thank you, Christy, for your vulnerability and just sharing from your own journey and what it looks like to wait in loss and also hold the tension of hope. And then we close in verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. And all these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. And so the disciples, they go back to Jerusalem and gather together. And the text says that all of them, right, the disciples, as well as the women and family that were with them, were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. That's the posture they were holding in how they were engaging this time of waiting. And we aren't told what they prayed for, but this description captures the rhythm and posture that was built into their way of life as a means to experience groundedness in a moment of transition. And for us, maybe our own experience of waiting is an invitation to prayer. Because prayer can be that space and practice that allows us to hold and be with all the tensions of waiting. You know, that's why we've been intentional as a community to explore and practice more contemplative forms of prayer over the last couple of years. Whether it's centering prayer or breath prayer or the welcome prayer, these have all been helpful expressions of prayer that allow us to simply be in the midst of waiting. Here's a beautiful description of prayer that the Irish poet and theologian Padre Gotuma gives. He says, prayer can be a rhythm that helps us make sense in times of senselessness, not offering solutions, but speaking to and from the mystery of humanity. Prayer is rhythm. Prayer is comfort. Prayer is disappointment. Prayer is words and shape and art around desperation and delight and disappointment and desire. You know, whatever form and expression it takes, I mean, there's no right or wrong way to pray, because prayer is the practice of wrestling and listening and expressing everything in those in-between spaces. And I've greatly appreciated personally the listening and receiving aspects of prayer more recently, as opposed to my growing up experience around prayer, where it seemed like the effectiveness of my prayer was dependent on how articulate I was. But contemplation and listening can be just as active and intentional, because it's in that space that we welcome all that God invites us to experience, explore, and receive. And so I would like to invite us into a time of prayer by meditating on the welcome prayer. And so wherever you are at home, if it's possible, get into a comfortable position. Rest your hands in your lap and have your palms facing up. And close your eyes if that's helpful for you. And then just take a deep breath. Breathe in and breathe out. And then take another deep breath. Breathe in and then breathe out. And as I read through the welcome prayer, allow your mind and your body and your soul to receive these words, and to allow them into whatever spaces of waiting you're experiencing right now. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today, because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and God's action within. Amen. And as you're ready, open your eyes and slowly re-engage the space around you. This is our invitation to prayer as we experience whatever season of waiting we're in, to welcome, to hold, to wrestle, to let go, and to receive God's love. And so, Vox, my hope for us is that we would be open and aware of the invitations that God is giving us in each of our own moments of waiting. And whatever circumstances or decisions that are impacting our experience of waiting right now, may we simply be, so that we can receive the invitation and love that God is offering us. Let me finish by reading this prayer offered by Padre Gotuma. God of promises, sometimes we wait generations for the dawn from on high, sometimes only years. We wait for justice and hope and light and kindness to mingle in the tangle of our days. And we age while we hope. So may we age and hope with tenderness and truth, because you are tender and true, even though we sometimes wonder. And so we ask all this in the love of the Father, the peace of the Son, and the accompaniment of the Spirit. Amen.